They're the headlines. Back with news headlines again at 12 noon.
All right, Donald, looking forward to the election this weekend.
Absolutely, Greg, absolutely. We've done a fair few of them now over the years, and it's always a good weekend.
It's going to be good. It's good, and it's all sort of, you know, the councils were great fun, but we're all going to be in the one building too.
Absolutely.
It's going to be cool.
And I think what happened was the locals in June really showed us and showed the listeners stroke viewers exactly what can be achieved when a team like the team here gets together and pushes out to get it out online, get
Stop
it on
it.
The screen, get it all. Oh,
you're going to make me cry.
Oh, indeed. It'll be a good one.
Listen, nice words. Thanks,
you might
Donald.
Even get some sleep at some stage.
Yeah, for sure. And Dimfna Callahan is watching. She says, when it's your first time on YouTube Live and the man you see looks totally different to the man you envisaged his voice to look like for all these years. Now, I don't know if they're referencing me. This came in after Donald came in, so everyone knows what Donald looks like. So I don't know if this refers to Sean or me, because Sean was on at the time. Dimfna, let us know. Who are you on about? How different was the voice to... Because that's changed an awful lot, Donald, hasn't it? Because back in the day, right, I remember seeing Larry Gogan for the first time, or I remember seeing Jerry Ryan for the first time. But nowadays, I think with social media and everything, you don't get that as much, do you?
I actually remember meeting people that would do regular reports here for the first time. One in particular, a person I'd envisaged as being... utterly different to the way
Ann Cadwallader?
Ann looks different as well to what you would expect. We all look different. I mean, Pauline tells a really good story, my wife, that we were both in a shop in Letterkenny, and she was buying something, I was buying something, and I was two people ahead of her in the queue. There was me, then there was a lady behind me, and she was behind the lady, and I would have known the guy behind the counter, and he addressed me. As we were speaking, the radio was on. I had recorded a report earlier and my voice came on the radio, and the guy behind the counter made a joke about, oh, you're Padre Pio, you're in two places at once. And the lady behind me turns to Pauline and went, that's Donald Kavanagh. And she was just there going, don't turn around, don't acknowledge me, don't look at me, just walk out the door.
All right, Donald, listen, thanks very much for that. That is our own Donald Kavanagh, who is going to be front and centre in our coverage tomorrow, as well as Michaela Clark and the rest of the team. Okay, we'll be back with That's Entertainment after this short break. Okay, it is That's Entertainment time, and we've an awful lot to fit in. We've got guests coming into studio a little later on. They'll be replacing momentarily, or for a moment, sorry, the two guests that are always here, which is great, isn't it? That's it's great that they're always here. Really going to have to work on my intros. Michael Eddy, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Ms. Fanula Rabbit.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Listen. Whilst we're getting into the Christmas mood, because we had Sean in a little earlier on talking about the expansion of the Christmas car giveaway to include 10 £1,000, it's time to talk about something that's very close to your heart, I know.
This is
perhaps
my favourite
maybe
thing.
A little bit weirdly too close, because you get so excited going to shop for this. It's our colouring
every
competition.
Every bit of this is my favourite competition that we have, because... I even just the judging of it is so amazing. I just cover
There's
my
so much effort goes into
I
it.
Know,
and laid out and
I know, and you just feel so bad. And then it literally takes about 8 or 9 of us in order to pick the winners, because we have to do it like anonymously and everything, because there's such an amazing array of talented young people out there that send us in their pictures. My office ends up being just like a winter wonderland with just pictures all over it. And even I remember one time I was talking to my cousin in London, and she wanted to fly over in order to judge it, because I kept, while I was talking to her on the phone, I was like, oh my God, look at this one. Look how good this one is. Look how good this one is. Because they're so amazing. The children are so talented. And some of them just do the plain picture, and they kind of put a little bit of themselves into it, and just their colours and the brightness of it.
Other people
go make collages out of it. Other people make cards out of it. And some of them mount them, some of them don't. It's just amazing the way people's imaginations can really get in behind it.
All right. And we've another great picture today. We have Santa's there, I believe.
Yeah.
We have a singing snowman. We've got singing candles. We've got a reindeer. He may or may not be Rudolph. We'll see as it relates to the colour of his nose. And yeah. That picture is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Click colour. I've got it up on the screen here
perfect.
In my head. Are you, dear? click Highland Radio. So go to highlandradio.com. Click the colouring competition. And you can download the picture, and it's there for you to print off. And we can we get them to people other ways as well, Fionnuala?
Yeah, we can send them out to them if they're having any problems or difficulties, but they shouldn't be having. But if they are, absolutely, give us a call and we'll send them out to you. I know last year and the year before, a lot of, particularly in the junior cycle, some of the teachers got into it and gave it to the kids to do in school and everything. So we had like whole classrooms in it and all that. The only thing I will say is to the teachers and to the artists themselves is please make sure that we have your information, because there's nothing worse than when we find an amazing jewel in amongst the crown and it's we don't have the
so
proper
write it on
information
the back,
on
I think,
back.
Because maybe someone put a stick it in or something, but write it on the back and then we
absolutely,
know for sure.
Absolutely, because sometimes the schools send us in like a big bundle of them together, which is brilliant, but by the time we do this colouring competition, often the schools aren't open or, they're winding down, so it can be more difficult. So just make sure that we have your name, your age and a contact number.
So we've got under sixes, under nines and under 12s.
Yeah.
We're not doing under 52s yet, unfortunately, but maybe.
I would win that hands down. I have my own crayons. I don't even let the kids play with them.
And then you send it in to us. Colouring competition, Highland Radio, Pine Hill, Letterkenny, County Donegal. The list, I'll tell you, the best place to go is the website. But we want schools involved, Nina is involved as well, because there's under sixes, under nines and under 12s. And as adventurous as you want to be, please do. We have a wee link there where you can close it off and print it off as well. And the prizes, because this is the part that you do this for, I think. Obviously, you love the judging, right?
Oh,
and you love that process. But I know that you love getting your credit card out and heading to the shops.
I go down to Smith's and I just get a big trolley and go cracked.
What are the prizes?
So there were the prizes that we have. We have three prizes for each category and we have loads of art gear. That's what I've gotten again this year. So great big Corolla boxes of art products, and we'll also have a few surprises and things like that thrown in. So I just everybody just get involved in it, because there's nothing nicer than it to do a little bit of colouring. You know, the weather's coming on. You don't have to have the colouring competition in until I think it is the 16th. I think it's the day that we put down.
Let me just double check that, because yes, it's the 16th
yeah,
of
the
December.
16th. So you have until the 16th of December to get them into us. So that gives people plenty of time now to get themselves organised and download and go ahead with it. And you can either, as you said, stick them in the post or drop them in when you're passing. And we will then be judging and we'll be announcing then on the
brilliant.
Thursday.
And we've got the beautiful sketch again from Jarla, and you can check out Donegal Cartoons Jarla on our on his Facebook page as well. And there's a link to his stuff there. So there are fantastic prizes. It's loads of fun. It's not specifically for schools, by the way. Moms and dads or guardians out there, you can download it and let your wee one at it. There's under sixes, under nines and under 12s. But it's lovely to see the schools involved, because loads of children get to enter. And then what we end up having is a carpet, quite literally a carpet of these amazing pictures, and they're all scrutinised and looked at, and everyone is brilliant.
Oh my God, they're so good.
It's all sort of relative, isn't it? What you might like, Michael might prefer something a little
bit
different.
Oh, I know. This is what happens.
And then we argue, rip each other's hairs out, and eventually
I know, that's what happens. We end up with every category having 10 and going, well, okay, 10, we can't have 10 winners. We have to narrow it down. It just becomes a big argument here as to why people
have
picked.
It's a funny scene. We must get some pictures this time, because you just have like staff standing around arguing about which is the better picture, which I think is fantastic. And when I say arguing, I don't mean arguing. Discussing.
No, it is. I know. Okay. I had to put them all out on the floor upstairs. There were so many of them. We literally were like just walking around looking down trying to pick the best ones out of it.
Brilliant.
They're just so good. And I have to say, it always makes me feel lovely and Christmassy. And just, I don't know if Sean mentioned it earlier, but also just as we're mentioning the schools, don't forget, if you missed it earlier on, the school showcase is going to be starting as well, so you need to get in if you want us to come out to your school to visit your school and do a school showcase over Christmas week. We'd love to do that. And send in your nominations to your school to christmas@highlandradio.com before the 13th of December. And they'll be visiting the schools on the Wednesday, the 18th.
Okay, great stuff. Well, I might chat to Gooch about that Monday morning, just to remind people, especially while people are in cars as well and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get on with that. Right, okay. Quick mention of our Lunchtime Live. It's coming live this afternoon on our Highland Hub Facebook page from Buncrannock Christmas Market. That's a fantastic event, which is free to enter as well. And Swan Park's transformed into a dazzling winter wonderland. There's handmade gifts, hot drinks and all that kind of stuff as well. Corinne and the team are up at that. That's live exclusively on our Facebook page at 1 p.m. Highland Hub is where it's at. And you can ask questions and get them answered immediately. Right, okay. Not going to start every show with this, but I think because I was looking through the website here and it's so well done and put together. Ballet Glissane, episode 2 went out Wednesday.
Yes.
There's a great, because I was referencing the website to Fionnuala and the colouring competition, there's a great Ballet Glissane section on the website as well, which has been beautifully put together. You can listen to episode 1, episode 2 and meet the cast, which are beautiful sort of semi-real caricatures and a bit of background to them and all. The kind of stuff that we've probably said should be done in other podcasts, you know what I mean, in terms of tracking characters and stuff. But it's all there for you to get fully invested and involved in. And a detective was introduced on Wednesday.
Yes,
correct?
Detective character started to investigate the suspicious death of the man, which opened episode 1. And hopefully, from what I gather from people... I had a lady last night ask me for...
your autograph?
Close, even better than that. She said, could she get the remaining episodes on the pen drive? She said, can I get a pen drive?
Not at all.
But a very, very, very nice lady.
Now, you cannot use, and I'm not suggesting this was her motivation, but you certainly cannot use this product to progress your love life. This is not allowed. Now, I'm not referencing that interaction last night, I'm just saying, going forward.
Yeah, going forward.
I agree. Particularly as this was, as we all know, my idea.
I know.
If anyone's progressing their love life off the back of this, it's got to be Fionnuala, right? Okay?
Exactly. All career, all everything.
There's a list, and Fionnuala's at the top of the list.
Right,
so yeah, the detective came in, and she'll be investigating. But again, as I said before, there's more storylines than that one. It's meant to be about all the people, so there's things happening that have nothing to do with the mysterious passing away of Jimmy.
Okay, listen, that's a lot of the housework. I actually also enjoy talking about the colouring competition because it really feels that we are in the throes of Christmas too, and I've never been more open to it. I don't know why it is,
good,
but
I'm
good. Looking forward to it, you know.
I've got to go and hang out in your house. I'm actually can't get into it yet. It's still a bit early. I'm hoping next week.
No.
You're in the mood.
Yeah, if I didn't have anything on this weekend, the tree would be up. Did you put your tree up yet?
I haven't got around to it in the last 25 years, but I'll get around to it at some point.
Do you put the tree up yourself?
We haven't had a tree in decades.
I was going to say, I'd recommend the hall or the front room.
Decades. If I put up a tree, my two housemates would look at me like, what is wrong with you? They'd be like, okay, that man's...
You're full of festive spirit.
Having an episode.
And there's guests coming in shortly, and we'll get you out and get them in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they are in the festive...
They are.
I know, much more than us. I'm dying
Big
to see
time.
It, actually.
Big time.
I'm dying to see the show. I'm hoping to go on Tuesday. So.
Yes. Okay, well, shall we take a break?
Yeah.
And then we'll get a bit of live entertainment and conversation and then get yous back in.
No problem.
Sounds like a plan.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, so check out Ballet Glissane. By the way, it's our podcast. It's exclusive and created for Highland Radio here, thanks to Michael and Fionnuala primarily.
yes.
And also to check out the website for everything.
You do all
really.
The voices too, don't you? You play all the characters.
Fionnuala is all the characters.
Dennis Waterman here.
Yeah.
Sing the theme tune.
Right, the theme team tune. Sing the theme tune. Poor Dennis.
But the website is a great facility for you to check out that, but also the colouring competition and download it there. But if there's any of you that don't have a printer, right, we want your young person to be involved as well. Contact us and we'll sort something out because we want it to be as inclusive as is humanly possible. And we're very excited to bring you the news, if you don't know it already, that Shrek the Musical is being put on by Letterkenny Music and Drama Group. Good morning, Marie McGinley. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good to have you in. And Tina Higgins, both of you directing. Tina, come into that microphone here. Not that one there, sorry.
Oh, this one.
Marie, you go onto that one. Perfect. Excellent. Right, okay, so Shrek the Musical. And we've all got our ears on.
Yeah.
Which we're getting into the mood of it. What's the story I was going to say? But
so just like the first Shrek movie, it's a storyline of Shrek and fairy tale creatures get dumped on a swamp by Lord Farquaad, and it's about Shrek on a mission to get these fairy tale creatures removed. And along the way, then he has to rescue a princess, and he makes a lifelong friend with Donkey.
Okay, and we're going to play out a little bit of it a little later on. It's running in on Green on Theatre in Letterkenny from this coming Tuesday, the 3rd of December, to Saturday, the 7th of December. And it feels Christmassy.
Yeah, doesn't it?
I mean, it's not necessarily a Christmas show, but it feels like it's at the right time of the year for it. Yeah. Does that make sense, Marie?
It does. And this is a great one for kids and adults. It's got the humour for both, which is really great.
All right. And not easy to put these things on, because this is obviously an official Dream, you know, version of the DreamWorks production. So you've got the book and lyrics by David Lindsay-Abair, and music by Janine Tesouri.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the full show. Tell us a little bit about the staging of it, Tina.
Starts in at the swamp where Shrek appears, you see, and you'll see all our beautiful fairy tale creatures. So if you can imagine any fairy tale creature you've seen in the storybooks as a child, they all come to life in Ingrainion Theatre next week. And the costumes just arrived yesterday, so they're fabulous.
Unreal, yeah.
So you go from swamp, fairy tale creatures, to then our fabulous Lord Farquaad to his castle. So it's very grand, and he is... Lord Farquaad just brings so much to the stage.
He's hilarious.
Shane Gallagher plays Lord Farquaad, so he's fabulous. But the set is amazing.
Yeah,
it's been...
Everything about the show is big. Mm-hmm. The costumes are big. The set's big. The music's big. The cast is big. Mm-hmm. We have the largest cast that I've ever been a part of. We have 56 in their cast.
Wow, what a huge undertaking by so many people. There's a ton of work goes into getting... this put together.
Yeah.
So this is the culmination of all that work now.
Yeah.
And Shrek and Shrek the Musical is, well, it's a catch-all really, isn't it? Because obviously you've got people familiar with the film who've grown up with it, love it. But also it's universal. It'll never age. It's just one of those shows that will never age. So even if someone's not familiar with it, they're going to go in and get the laughs and have the fun as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a funny show.
Yeah. And
really funny.
What's like that, and that is... Everyone, because it's so familiar, people have a lot of expectations going into it. And I can confidently say like that they are going to be so happy coming out of it. Our cast is unbelievable. Our Shrek is unreal. Our Donkey's unreal. Our Lord Farquaad's unreal. They're so amazing. They're so amazing, all of them, yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's one of those shows where there has to be that connection, doesn't there, between the actor and the character.
Yeah.
Right, we'll talk a little bit more about it, but we'll switch out because we're going to bring in Ricky Kyle. So, ladies, if you would let Ricky and Connor sit down. We're going to bring in two of the cast of Shrek the Musical. And we'll say good morning to you first. Connor White, how are you getting on?
Good.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
What's this role like?
It's kind of... I don't think you can put a word on Donkey. I think he's kind of everybody's probably fan favourite. Everybody knows Donkey so well. He's kind of, I'm looking forward to doing it. It's kind of a character everybody knows. So everybody has expectations, and hopefully I can live up to them.
High expectations, but also high expectations, Ricky, for your character, Shrek himself. He gave his name to the musical, didn't he?
Yeah. It's a lot. There's definitely a big weight there, but... Hopefully I can live up to it.
So. No, of course you can. Of course you can. It's going to be fantastic. Just to remind you, it's in the wonderful setting of Ingrainion Theatre, which is celebrating 25 years of existence this year. And it runs from Tuesday, the 3rd of December, to Saturday, the 7th of December. I'll get show times because I don't see them in any of my notes here, actually. But I'll do that afterwards because we'll recap with the two directors. So what are we going to hear now? Who wants to set it up? Ricky, Connor, which one of you wants to set up what we're going to hear now?
Yeah, we're going to do a song from Act 1 where Shrek and Donkey kind of set off on their quest. And as you can imagine, Donkey is... in Shrek's ear, non-stop, and that's kind of what the song is all about.
And you're going to be expertly accompanied, as always, by?
By Miss Denise Roper.
Okay. Denise, great to see you again. Thanks for calling up. All right, take it away whenever you're ready.
Say sing a song, yes, a travel song, when you gotta go somewhere, 'cause the fun is getting there. Yeah, oh, what the heck, I must confess, I love a road trip. Sing a song, hit the trails, forget the maps, forget the guides. Before you know it, you've made strides with me. All I know, all I need all along is a path and a pal and a song. So I'm singing and I'm palling with you. See, make the time go by faster.
Why me? Why me?
This is nice.
Tell me, what was my crime?
We are thrilled.
He's as chatty as a parrot, more annoying than a mime.
Hey, look, a cat who's wearing boots. That's crazy.
Why me? Why me? A simple answer would be fine.
This is some good cardio.
Won't someone please send me a sign?
Hey, look, a sign. You need a Pal Avenue straight ahead.
What did I do to deserve this, honestly? This ass of mine is asinine. Why me?
Why sing a song, why hit me? The trail, forget the map, forget the guides. Before you know it, you've made rides with me. What all I know, I all I need all along this is a path and a pal and a song. And
this
I'm singing
mine,
lo-de-do, and I'm palin'.
Why am I with you? That'll do, donkey, that'll do.
Brilliant, lads. Well done. And obviously the accompaniment as well. Complex, that, because he's reacting at the same time as well, right? So I was disappointed at the get-go, seeing as I got involved in the whole buzz with the Shrek ears, but then I realised, well, you're a donkey. You don't want...
Yeah,
you're
I don't think we have enough room in there.
So I'm going to have to fit them in. I'm a Ricky ally on this one. You're full. So, I mean, it's great fun. You can see it's great fun.
Yeah.
Like it. Okay, brilliant stuff. So, lads, well done to you. Thanks. If you want to hop out there, those are two of the main characters in the show. Connor White, who's got Donkey down to a T, as you can see, as has Ricky Kyle with Shrek. I hadn't seen it before. It's great fun. It's great fun, Tina.
Oh, it is so much fun, even at during rehearsals. Everyone has been laughing throughout. Now, there are some moments too. There's some lovely songs that are tear-jerkers as well. That's what's lovely, but it's a really good fun show.
Marie, so tell us the show times. I couldn't find them in my notes there.
Yeah, so we're opening up on Tuesday night. 7:30 are the times in the evenings that'll be starting at. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. But we also have a sensory-friendly show on Friday morning at 11 a.m. and a matinee show on Saturday at 2 p.m.
All right, okay. And I think, as I say, it's not... Is it a Christmas... I don't know. It's one of those things, isn't it, that just fits perfectly into Christmas, doesn't it? Even though it might not necessarily...
There's nothing in it saying Christmas, but definitely
It's just landing at the right
time. It's homely. It's a nice homely...
It just wouldn't feel right in the third week of July.
Yeah.
To me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It just has that feel to it. It's like warm chicken soup. right, okay. So get on to on Green on Theatre Box Office. Obviously, this is for all ages, isn't it?
Yeah. There is actually... last time I looked, there's about, I think, 10 tickets left. And that's
for the entire run.
And there's the eight of them are for the Friday 11 a.m. show. So yeah,
so there's only
we're almost sold out.
What are you doing here? I'd be going up there, though. But we appreciate it greatly. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and it's a lovely lift going into the first show, isn't it?
It's
knowing
so
that you're, you know,
definitely.
Because of all the effort that we've talked of and what have you. Okay, well, listen, I can't help you in flogging tickets. You've done it yourself. but if you want to get hold of the very few remaining tickets, the sensory special, isn't it?
Yes.
Friday morning, there's eight
tickets
available for that.
Left.
And then, I don't know where
the random ones in.
Right, listen, well done on it. It sounds absolutely fantastic. And I genuinely mean that because Ricky and Connor give an example of how high the quality is. It is Shrek the Musical. If you've got a ticket, fair play to you. There ain't many tickets left. And thank you so much to Marie McGinley and Tina Higgins for calling up, the directors of the show. Also, Denise Roper, musical director. And Ricky, Kyle, who's Shrek, and Connor White, who is Donkey. Well done, everyone. We'll
thank
be back
you.
With more after the break. The people of Donegal go to the polls on Friday the 29th of November to decide which of the 20 candidates will fill the five available seats in the Donegal constituency. Join me, Greg Hughes, and the Highland Radio team live from the Cant Centre in Letterkenny on Saturday for wall-to-wall coverage. We'll have the latest tallies, the results of the counts as they come in, and the first interviews as people are either elected or eliminated. We have an expert team of reporters and a brilliant panel to ensure you won't miss a thing locally or nationally. So that's Highland Radio's general election coverage live on air this Saturday morning from 9 a.m. And don't forget, you can watch all of the coverage live on YouTube, X, Facebook and on highlandradio.com. Yes, we couldn't be any more excited. We're live from 9 a.m. and we'll be on air as long as it takes. And as I said a little earlier on, you can listen to it on the radio. We've got Michaela doing a blog on the internet if you can't listen. Because of, I don't know, what you might be out if you're in the cinema or what have you. And you can also watch it across our YouTube, Facebook and the X channels as well. And there are watch parties being organised in London and I've been told also in Australia. Watch parties for it, which is fantastic. Very exciting, isn't it? That's the new world we live in now.
Yes, it is.
Troy is organising a watch party over in London.
Oh, right, yeah,
and
okay.
And I got a random note on something else as well. Okay, so as I say, whichever way you want to watch it, listen to it, read it, we will have you covered live from 9 a.m. Right, okay. That was Shrek the Musical. That was lovely. Brilliant.
I know.
Enjoyed
I'm looking
that.
Forward to it now.
You have tickets, yeah?
Well, I'm hoping we're going to see it on Tuesday. That's the plan now. There's a few people going. I'm hoping to tag along.
Excellent. Okay. I think it's going to be really, really good for all the family. Gladiator 2 in the cinema.
Yes.
This is an interesting one.
Yes.
Because it's following...
A classic.
It's following a classic.
It's following a classic.
How do you do it?
Yeah, and it's an iconic movie that it's following. And it's very similar. I was chatting to a taxi driver earlier actually about this, and he pointed out it's a lot like the Top Gun situation, because you have an iconic, beloved film and now you have a sequel, and it's like you're holding it up against not just, you know, this film, but also people's very emotional memories of seeing the film like back a couple of decades ago. And Gladiator is one of those...
I agree, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, I remember knowing a friend of mine many years ago. She just adored Russell Crowe in that film and just adored that film and would perpetually rewatch it. I went along to see this with one of the guys from the play on Tuesday night. We both went in open minds. We were like, let's, you know, particularly him. He was like open to see what it was. And he enjoyed it more than I did. But I will say it's an enjoyable, you know, it's one of those classic swords and sandals kind of movies. You've got your...
How much did you enjoy the first one?
Oh, I really love it.
Okay, so
I do
in
love
other
it,
words,
yeah.
it's
I
not
do
a genre
it.
Issue for you, it's about the
yes.
the film.
Oh yeah,
itself.
Oh yeah, no, I did love it. I thought it worked on every conceivable level. And yeah. a lot of kind of this idea of something, I think it would have been something unusual, even today, obviously there's not that many of those particular genre out there, but at the time it was an unusual film. It's like, oh, this is something different. Mm. It's exciting.
And the scale.
Scale of it, yeah. And
huge.
This one has a huge scale. It definitely delivers on the spectacle. It definitely delivers on the casting. You've got some excellent casts in this. Obviously, for Irish people, Paul Mescal's leading the cast is an exciting thing. Pedro Pascal, one of the most likeable men, myself and Vanilla Chat, he's just the most likeable person on TV or film at the moment. Joseph Quinn is playing one of the corrupt emperors and he's excellent. He really stands out as well. Derek Jacobi, Colleen Nielsen, and for me, Denzel Washington stole the film.
So if there
excellent.
Are flaws, where are they?
I'm not the biggest fan of Paul Mescal's performances. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say, I'm not convinced, having seen it, that it was really necessary to extend that universe. And I felt there are ties, I won't talk about what they are on air, but there are ties to the first film. But to me, they felt contrived. And I wasn't always convinced you needed any of this. So on its own merits, I would say it's an okay film. And it's definitely worth seeing on the big screen.
So
if you want
Gladiator
to see the
Gladiator 1 never existed, right?
Yes. That's a great question. I would still feel it's an okay film.
Okay.
Just okay. And I would say because I wasn't that invested in the central character.
What about your mate then?
He enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
He said that, again, from his point of view, because we haven't seen a film like this at all.
You see,
like
you went
this.
In with biases, you see. And
well,
it's
I suppose,
then,
yeah.
It's hard,
yeah.
Then to, it's hard then to shift them in.
Plus, he quite likes the central performance. He's quite happy. He likes Paul Mescal more than I do. My problem was I wasn't invested in the main character, and I would put that down to the performance. I mean, if you're not invested in the main character in any film of any genre, you're not going to be that excited by it. You're just not that bothered. But I was very excited by Denzel Washington. Obviously, he's not the main character, but I loved when he was on screen. And I loved when the two corrupt, the twin emperors were on, particularly Joseph Quinn's performance. I thought, this guy, there's a lot going on behind the eyes. But for me, it's Denzel when he's on screen, but he's not the main character. But I loved what he was doing. But yeah, I enjoyed the spectacle. The action sequences are improbable. Very, very. There's no historical accuracy in this film.
Was that the case in the first?
No.
Because I remember watching the first and going, well, how did they do this?
Yeah.
How did they make it look so grand? How did they, you know, there's that wonderment to it as well in its production.
There's times in this film when we did step out of it. We talked about it afterwards in the hallway of the cinema. But I definitely a couple of times looked at things that were happening and I thought, wait a second. How did the characters, how did they do this? How did they make that particular thing happen in the arena? I'm not holding the film up and saying, oh, you must be historically accurate. I'm not one of those guys. I'm like, I'm with it. It's a fantasy as well. But it's a bit far-fetched in places.
I think for me, for something like that, I would expect it to feel authentic to what was achievable at that time. Then again, they built the pyramids before that and we don't know how they did that. Finola, you haven't seen this.
No.
Are you looking forward to it? I don't know, the first Gladiators?
The first Gladiators was fine. It was more just that it was a different kind of a movie, you know, the way when it came out. But it never sort of stood out in my mind the way it does in other people's as being, oh, my God, I love that. You know, the way that it was a classic or anything for me. I wouldn't have thought that. I like Russell Crowe. But this one, just as something, I don't know what it is about.
The Gladiators, even the original, it's loaded, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't think it's in anyone's top 10.
That's a very good point. It's not like Shawshank or something like that where people always go to. It's not a go-to film as a favourite.
I think
that's
it's
a good
one
point.
Of those films more that you know about and you remember you've watched it once. Like, I wouldn't say I've watched it twice now. I'd say I saw it when it came out.
Seem to remember watching it in the context of Ben-Hur back in the day. I'm not old enough really to have consumed Ben-Hur, but it seems
Ben-Hur would have been on TV when I was growing up. Yeah, it would have been on TV.
Ben-Hur is one of those movies that you're never sure have you fully watched it.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I must have watched it.
I must have watched it.
I'm more like that about it. I'm like, I must have. I've seen clips of it. I've seen bits of it.
I put like Great Escape in there too. I always put Great Escape. I know I've seen a lot of the Great Escape.
I've seen the Great Escape. It was the only video we had.
I can't say for sure if I watched it from beginning to the end, The Green Mile. There's lots of films like that in my head. All right, so definitely if you're into Gladiator, you're going to enjoy this.
Yes.
If you're going in with your eyes wide open, you're going to enjoy this. If you want the full spectacle, you need to go watch it in the cinema.
Yep.
But for you, it was okay.
It was okay.
It was a wasted night, but just
exactly. I'd probably give it a 6, which is okay for me. I'm glad I've seen it. I will say the critics have given it 71%. That's 7 out of 10 critics like it. And audiences, according to Rotten Tomatoes, 8 out of 10, 83%. So 8 out of 10 people are liking this in general.
Do you mind if we go terrestrial with your first choice? Because it's a great film, actually, that I really actually wouldn't mind rewatching again. Because I remember when I watched Mystic River, I don't know if I'd just watched the documentary before or it made me watch it afterwards, but I sort of did a big deep dive into this. Because this is the right film, isn't it? It's based on...
Well, I didn't know there was a documentary. This film is based on it's the murder of a young teenage girl, again set in kind of Boston-esque. They all kind of do those sort of a voices on it, so it's sort of a Boston-esque kind of an area. And you have Sean Penn, Kevin Bacon, and basically what it is that one of them plays the detective and one of them plays the father. And it's all about the investigation into the murder of this teenage girl. The father's seeking revenge. There's kind of like tentative fingers into whether or not there's a bit kind of gang, you know, gang stuff going on and that kind of thing. Look, I don't want to be giving a lot away with it because it's just a really good film. It's directed by Clint Eastwood, so it has that kind of a dark, edgy sort of a thing to it that Clint Eastwood used to always have with his movies back in the day before he started doing every war film that ever walked the face of the earth. But this time, there always was like that kind of an edge to his movies, and I think that's what's in this. And it's just a really good, fantastic ensemble cast. You'll thoroughly enjoy it.
I was actually... there's another film that is the one I'm on about. This isn't actually based on a true story.
No,
but it's a fantastic film nonetheless.
It is.
But I know the film I'm on about now and the documentaries that followed.
Which one are you on?
Well, I don't know it enough to actually say the name of it.
But you know it's a different one.
But I know it's a different one. Yeah.
Oh, well, look at this one. Is it not? Look, at, we'll work out which one you're talking about, because if any Sean Penn or Kevin Bacon were in it, I've seen it. So I love them. I love Kevin Bacon since he got stabbed in the chest on Friday the 13th back in the day.
I watched that a couple of years ago. Yeah,
yeah, so good. But so this movie is absolutely fantastic. There's some brilliant, there's just a brilliant cast in it. You know, it's one of these movies where you end up, you know, feeling for the bad guys and feeling for the, you know, you just kind of switch allegiances the whole way through it. And it's just really enjoyable. It's on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And I just think, settle down, relax. The weather's not great. You're in early. Put on the fire, sit down and watch this movie. It's very good.
Yeah. The Devil's Knot is the film that I'm on about. Probably completely unrelated to it, but there you go.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So that's on RTE Sunday at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Man on the Inside on Netflix. I'll just stick with you for this one, if that's all right. Fionnuala. Yeah. Ted Danson's in this.
Oh, I want to hear about this.
This is, again, just as a, you know, as I'm constantly saying here, sometimes these people pop up and you haven't seen them in anything in a little while. I loved Ted Danson in The Good Place. He hadn't been around for a while, and then all of a sudden he popped up in The Good Place, and it's, If people haven't seen The Good Place, oh my God, treat yourself.
Superb.
Just, it's very nice. You know, the way there's nothing offensive in it, there's nothing whatever, but there's just some really, you have some really good watching and fun watching ahead of you in it. So he went away then after The Good Place, and he does a really good podcast and that kind of thing. But suddenly he's back with this Man on the Inside. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. It's half hours. Each episode is half hour. I think there's about 9 episodes in it. Basically, Ted Danson is a retired professor. His wife has passed away, so he's kind of at a loose end. He doesn't really know what to do. He's not very good socially and that kind of thing as well. He'd be much more kind of an intellectual sort of level rather than social. Everybody's daughter's worried about him. Everybody's worried about him. And then he replies to an ad from a private investigator looking for somebody to go undercover in a nursing home where they think there's something going on in the nursing home. And it's just got some great actors in it. Kind of has a feel a little bit of Grace and Frankie. Mm-hmm. It's not quite as strong a cast as there is in Grace and Frankie, but that kind of a thing, you know, dealing with aging, dealing with, you know, families as you're aging, interpersonal relationships as you're aging, that kind of thing. And the way you're, you know, people look at the age.
So what's the genre, Fionnuala?
Oh, it's comedy. It is a comedy. Yeah, okay. No, it is. But it's kind of like Grace and Frankie. It's not necessarily a laugh out loud. Yeah. It's more sort of situational, you know, okay. The way.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of has a nice softness on it. But I really like the way that they deal with the aging characters, you know what I mean, with people getting older and how some people see you, how you can be reflected in society and that kind of thing. And he's just fantastic in it. I mean, he looks brilliant right now.
And behind the scenes, it is the same. It's the same person that did Good Place, isn't it? It's that.
I think so. There you go. That's probably why. Because there's just a nice warmth to it, really, that kind of makes it nice. You'd nearly sit down and you'd binge the whole lot, which for half hour shows can sometimes get a little bit too much. And
it's always a good sign, that.
But this, you could totally binge this over the weekend.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. So that is Man on the Inside from starring Ted Danson. It's on Netflix. The first film that Fionnuala reflected on was Mystic River, which stars Sean Penn and Tim Robbins. It's an RTE2 on Sunday. The film I kind of confused that with, and it's really good, and then I went on to watch the documentaries, although the subject matter is brutal, is Devil's Knot. And then the documentary as well is The Memphis 3. So I found myself sort of switching between the two and all that type of stuff. Right, okay. Let me see. I just want to give a quick mention to the Donegal Hospice calendar. It is out right now, and it is brought to you, as always, by Tiny Vaughan. And it's sponsored by a whole range of London and Donegal businesses. And it has just loads of pictures in it, as you'd imagine, and also the date, which is useful in the calendar. But it's a beautiful thing. It does well every single year, and it's available right now. It's the 2025 Donegal Hospice calendar, raising money for Donegal Hospice from Brendan Vaughan from Carrigart, and of course based quite a bit out in London. Keep an eye out for it and buy yourself a copy or gift it and support the Donegal Hospice. Back with a podcast recommendation from Michael Leddy after these. Cover, BBC Podcasts or BBC Sound, Spotify, yes. Usual stuff.
This is a new podcast. The first episode is on Spotify only.
Uh-huh.
But the second episode, I enjoyed the first episode. I immediately went snooping, and the second episode, not snooping, but I went investigating. Second episode is on BBC Sounds. They're doing a thing where they put the episode out on BBC first, BBC Sounds, and then they put it on Spotify a week later. So there's we're waiting for the second episode to drop on Spotify. It's about Freddie Scappaticci.
Uh-huh. And that's Steak Knife, isn't it?
Yeah, Steak Knife. This is about Steak Knife. So this gentleman joined the IRA in 1968, and he was with them for decades, and he was the head of the IRA's internal security unit. And the stats are that it's known that at least 40 individuals were executed by the IRA as informers between 1978 and 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman was the guy at the head of the unit that was responsible for all of those, and possibly carried out some of them himself. In 2003, as we find out in the early minutes of the first episode, for those of us who don't know the story or don't remember it that well, he was outed as himself an informer who was working with the British Army for decades, possibly from the very, very beginning. So what we get in this podcast over the two episodes is a look not only at the man himself and the situation and the tightrope that he was walking, but also at the decisions that were made at high levels within the British Army and the British police as regards allowing him to continue to do what he did, and also the idea that within the IRA there were people aware of his ties to the British Army and that they themselves were allowing him to continue to do what he did. Exploiting them, exactly. And that is looked at. And what you like about this, because I know you've mentioned it before, this is one of those shows where we get access to actual recordings.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it much more.
So, oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'll break it down as follows. The first half of the first episode is the 2003 section. A couple of journalists were invited to a meeting. They weren't told. Anne Cadwallader was one of them. They weren't, and it's her point of view we're telling.
I mentioned her earlier on, believe it or not.
So they were invited to a meeting. They didn't know who they were meeting, and it was a press conference with him, very limited press conference, where he read a statement. He had already been outed at that stage. So we get to hear the audio, her audio of that short conversation. And he basically, as she says, just read a statement. He didn't make eye contact with people in the room. He just denied the allegations vehemently and answered a couple of questions and then was taken from the room by the people with him. They were like, that's it, you know, out of the room. So they were putting out this story that he was not working with the British Army. Another journalist who had worked on the Cook Report a decade earlier, which some of us would remember, an ITV series.
Roger Cook,
it was a big.
That was must watch TV.
Must watch TV was actually through the 80s. They had done a program on Northern Ireland 10 years earlier in the early 90s, and after this went out, and we moved to a different journalist for the second half of the first episode. And again, we get to hear fascinating recordings because a gentleman who referred to himself as Jack contacted the producers of that show the morning after it went out and wanted to meet with them and tell them some things about Martin McGuinness. So again, they never acted on this for various reasons, but we get to hear the audio, which was a tape recorder, as they say, was stuffed up the sleeve of one of the journalists, very low tech, and went and sat in a car park and spoke to this Jack individual who told them some things about Martin McGuinness and told them some things that they had got wrong on the show the night before. And
It fits into
what you've been watching yourself
live. So she's downloaded it.
Yeah. So basically, you get to hear the audio of all that, and then they were told by they did some investigation, and they were told who this gentleman was and that he was a high level informer and to stay clear. So they never acted on that information, and those audio recordings, to my knowledge, were never played anywhere until we get to hear them.
Wow.
So on the back of 2003's revelations, they came forward with their story in print and they wrote a story up about it. That's the first episode. The second episode is a whole other thing. And I listened to half of it last night before bed this morning. The second episode is difficult to listen to. And it tracks one story. And it's a man who was executed by the IRA in 1979.
Yeah.
His brother and one of the journalist who's making this, the whole hour is the man's brother and the journalist tracking the route of the brother's final days and talking through. He was interrogated by the RUC for 3 days. He gave up some very low-level information about the location of some explosives. He immediately then, upon getting out, because he was in the IRA, he went to his commander. Then he was interrogated for 17 days before being executed. And we get, through the brother's eyes, we get to experience all that. Now, there's no recordings of any of this, but there were written statements that they have access to from the RUC and internally within the IRA. Mm-hmm. So all of those transcripts,
factual representation factual, of what he went through.
And they walk to the place, and the brother goes to the place where his brother died for the first time.
And how many episodes heavy. Are there?
Two are out, and I don't know how many they're going to do. Right. So the second one isn't on Spotify yet, but it's on BBC Sounds. I think they drop on Fridays, so I presume today is when the second episode might drop.
No,
on
I was just putting
is it up there on Spotify, is it?
Yeah, okay. The second one is
so
up
the second
now.
One's on Spotify. I heard it last night. This is, I think this is essential listening, if you're interested in Irish history or whatever like that, interested in these aspects of it. It's also, and I say this carefully, but it's exciting because it's the world of espionage. It's this idea of how much was going on that was cloak and dagger. It's almost like you're in East and West Berlin. And you know what I mean?
Line of entertainment and reality.
Who knows what? Who was lying? It's a lie on top of a lie on top of a lie. I'm absolutely going to stick with this.
And it's called Cover.
It's called Cover.
It's on the BBC Sounds app or on
Spotify.
Both episodes now on Spotify.
Yeah.
All right, brilliant stuff. Great recommendation. I'm going to add that to the list.
You'll enjoy it.
Fionnuala's already marked it, downloaded it.
No, I think you'll enjoy it.
I just want to let you know that it's all happening in Inishowen this afternoon and evening from a Christmas perspective. As I mentioned, Corinne and the team are live from the Buncrana Christmas Market. It's a festive event with free admission. And she's going to be broadcasting live from that at 1 p.m. on Facebook. There's loads of details in relation to that. The Christmas lights are going on this evening. And also St. Mary's Hall Community Centre, they're having a Christmas market today from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. 20-plus stall holders, and there's tea, coffee and a draw as well. Listen, just time from Kevin here. I do agree with Ted Danson is in another good place with his new show. We'll need cheering up if that includes cheesy Christmas 24 movies after the polls tomorrow. And who'll be the fairy topping the poll, so to speak? Frank's already getting on his playlist after six. That comes in from Kevin in Dunlop. Hopefully we get him on air by six. We don't know how long things are going to draw out for tomorrow. But we're going to keep it informative and entertaining from 9 a.m. live. I'm going to head down to the Oral Leisure Centre soon just to check everything out. Michael Leddy, thank you very much.
Indeed. Have a good weekend.
Always.
Have fun.
It's great to have you on the show. Fionnuala Rabbit, thank you so much indeed.
Thank you.
Right, we'll be back tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock. The whole team live from the Oral Leisure Centre. You will not miss a thing. All the tallies, all the speculation, all the official counts. We'll speak to those that have been eliminated, those that have been elected. You won't miss a thing. Listen on the radio, watch on our socials. Chat to you then.